Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. You can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any popular podcasting platforms. This week, Pastor Russ brings us a sermon titled, Important Things Happen in the Wilderness.
There is the sermon that I had planned. And then very quickly this week, it became apparent that a different sermon needed to be preached. I had planned to preach out of Luke chapter 3, culminating in the baptism of Jesus. But as I was watching the news, as you were, as I was watching the events unfold in Washington, our capital, with anxiety and with rage and grief and wonderment and fear, as I was noticing, as you did, that this week we also passed a milestone, the largest single day of death over coronavirus, barely surpassing the day before, the previous record, and only to be surpassed by the next day. And amidst all of that, the uncertainties around the when and the where and the anxieties of how will we open schools, how will we keep an economy going, how will we take care of those who feel so isolated, added to that are all the personal tragedies and stories that we know in our own lives and in our own circles, and it becomes apparent that something is going on. And what do we say into that world? What do we say on a week like this? So I began to look at for different scriptures and where this might fit, and there's plenty, but I ended up coming back to Luke chapter 3 for a couple reasons, and one is I began to see different things emerge out of the passage than I had noticed before. There's a reason they call Scripture the living word of God. It has a way of moving and meeting the need and catching our attention. And the other is because I think it has a good and important word for us today. A word of courage and a word of hope and a word of direction. Luke takes this passage and he first locates it. He locates it in time and space, as Luke likes to do. He likes to say, this has happened in a certain day and time. First few verses of chapter 3 read, in the 15th year of the rule of the emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor over Judea and Herod was the ruler over Galilee, his brother Philip was the ruler over Etruria, and Trachonitis and Lysanias was ruler over Abilene. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, God's word came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Luke is locating this story in a particular time and place. He is referencing it with what everybody would have known back then of where this was, when this was. But he's also dislocating this story with the same technique. He is saying, all these important people you know and all these important places, you're well aware. But let me tell you, what God was doing that day was not there. The most important thing that was going on in the world that day was happening in the wilderness. And there was this guy named John, the voice crying in the wilderness, as Luke tells us. Important things happen in the wilderness. That truth was raised again for me this week, that the scripture often uses wilderness to talk about those places. It's not just the coordinates on a map. It has to do with the geography of our heart. And important things happen, not in the places we would expect them, not in the places of power, not in the places of great privilege and a great resource. Many, many times in the Bible, God is at work and God shows up in the places you don't expect, with people you wouldn't expect, in the wilderness. And the characteristics are often the same. In a wilderness, there's a different set of rules about how life works and how it doesn't. Their values are different. The things that we value in one place don't work now and aren't worth very much in a wilderness. We feel dislocated where we are, and we are feeling very vulnerable in a wilderness of the heart and of the land. It's a fearful place. It's a quiet place. It's a place where we feel exposed, revealed. And what is revealed in this story, in this wilderness, is things aren't working. Life isn't working the way we thought it would. We see that with all the people who are coming out into the wilderness because they want a new beginning. They sense that John somehow is tied to God, and they recognize that something is going on with their life that is out of sync with God, and they want a new beginning, and John sees them and has none of it. He says, "You're wasting your breath," which seems odd. You would think that he might welcome them, but what he sees in the wilderness, what is being revealed, isn't just that their life isn't working, and that's apparent, but that their whole approach is little more than what you and I might call toxic religion or hustling God. Hustling God and toxic religion are all those things that we do to somehow become acceptable to God, to get right with God. And John is saying, save your breath. You're acting as if God is the problem. The real issue is within you. It's what needs to change in you. And if you're not willing to address that, go home. Even as we try to hustle God, we try to hustle one another, and that's not working either. All the important people who go to great lengths to let everybody know how important they are, or how we try to hustle one another, or hustle for worthiness might be a way we would talk about it today. All the things that we do to try to somehow prop ourselves up and show that we are worthy, to affirm who we are. I was noticing just this week, all the different ways that I was listening to within myself and within others, this conversation of how people were struggling for and wrestling with worthiness. The questions of whether I matter or not, whether anybody cares or not, whether I have something to offer or whether I'm just irrelevant, whether anyone will notice me or whether I'll be forgotten, whether I have a contribution to make to this world, whether I will be welcomed or rejected, whether I will be the person who is relevant, whether I am irrelevant, whether I have power or I'm powerless, whether I'm insignificant, whether who I am and what I do is enough or not enough. And, you know, that was just Thursday. But that's a wilderness. And those are wilderness questions, and those are wilderness reservations. When the world, as we usually organize it around ourselves, starts to get stripped away, and now we are left with the questions, and there's a reason we avoid the wilderness. But the other great truth that's in the scripture is that it's in the wilderness where we often have our best encounter, our greatest encounters with God. And I don't think it's because God just likes wilderness. I think sometimes it's because that's the place where our defenses are down enough that we can finally listen to what God has been screaming at us. But we just couldn't because we had somehow insulated ourselves with a life that we thought was working. And then we get to those places, we get to those weeks, we get to these times when we recognize it's not working. And now we have the possibility of hearing something new. One thing I've learned is that even though we want to avoid the wilderness, we would do well not to run away from it. One of the wiser things that somebody once told me was, when you're in pain, don't waste it. It's telling you something. Learn from it. And whether that pain is that your hand is too close to the fire, whether the pain is the pain of your marriage that isn't working, whether it is relationships in your family that just seem so fractured, or in your community, whether we can't hear one another, when it's listening and watching the news and wondering what in the world is going on, why is this happening, when it's the pain and the dislocation of your own life and your own soul, or something that's going on in your own body, listen to it. Don't be too quick to blame it on somebody else or something else. Don't be too quick to push it aside so you can get back to where it's comfortable. It's worth listening to. Something's going on. In the next few moments, as we get ready for prayer, I would invite you, name the wilderness that you're in right now, and name the pain, whether out loud or just in your own mind, in the quiet of your own heart, what are the places that are dislocated? What are the places that are still feel so disoriented? What are the places that you're sluggish and you can't seem to make progress? What are the places of fear? What are the places that keep you up at night? Because when you do that, you are not just naming the pain, acknowledging the wilderness. You're also identifying the next place of an encounter with God. So this sermon is going to be in three parts. In the first part, just emphasize that important things happen in the wilderness. Important things still happen in the wilderness. And one of those things that happens is that we come to the end of one road, the road of where we are trying to hustle God, where we are trying to hustle worthiness with one another. We come to the place where it just doesn't work anymore. And it's there, and maybe it's only there to that degree that we are able to start something new. And at what we start is illustrated in our passage. And it is illustrated again with Jesus. There's a reason that Luke is telling us the story in this way. The path of Jesus is our path. And what is true for Jesus is true for us. And as we take on the path with Jesus, that we follow that same. And isn't it interesting that before anything else happens, before the ministry happens, before the healings, before the persecutions, before the cross, before the resurrection, the very first thing that happens in the adult Jesus' life is this experience of Jesus going out to the wilderness to be baptized and to hear this voice that comes and have this experience that says, this is my beloved. This is the one whom I am well pleased. You are a child of God. In you, God is well pleased. When we are hustling, we don't get to hear that. When we are somehow trying to manage God and keep everything at peace and organized, we put up this false front of who we are, and it's not a bad front, it's just not us. And so we put this front out for the world, and all of that works most of the time. But then when it doesn't, and maybe this week is one of those weeks when it starts to crumble, rather than fight back and try to regain hold and control of all things, maybe the thing we need to do is realize we're in a wilderness and that what we've been doing doesn't work, so that maybe we can hear, maybe for the first time, or certainly we need to be reminded, you are a child of God. You are beloved. In you, God is pleased. That is so powerful to hear, and there are those times in our life when someone is able to look into our life and to tell us that, and it becomes transformative when we believe it, doesn't it? Suddenly, we don't have to keep hustling with one another. We can exhale, and we can lay the armor down, and we get to be who we truly are because we're beloved. And what a place. And as we begin to face all the difficulties and all the hardships there, now it is not a matter of can we do it in a way that's acceptable to God or okay with everybody else. It is, no, this is what we've been given, but we come from a different place, not a place of lack, but a place of love. You are the beloved. You need to hear that today. You are the beloved of God. In you. God is well pleased. Long before you maybe even knew of God. That's part of the power of baptism, isn't it? When we baptize children, you can baptize people at all ages, but one of the powerful parts of baptizing our children is that before they know who God is, before they know what that's all about, that there have been provisions and this declaration has been made on them and their life. You are the beloved child of God. In you, God is well pleased, and we remind ourselves of that on days like today so that we get to live into it and be reminded of it again and again and again. I think that's where Brené Brown puts her finger on it so well. When she gets to that same realization in a different type of language, when she says, you are imperfect, You are wired for struggle, but you are worthy of love and belonging. What a different place life feels like when it comes from that place. That allows us not only to be ourselves, but it allows God to be God. We don't have to construct this God, this false God of who we're trying to please and accommodate and manage. And we can let God be God. And that journey that we take, takes on a different energy and it takes on a different joy. That's really what's behind this next song. Leanne has taken and crafted some words of a well-known song and tweaked them a bit to reflect that journey of who we are, of what it means to come into the true self of who we are and allow God to be who God truly is. Take a listen, and as you listen for those times in your life where you have been able to hear that you are the beloved. In you, God is well pleased. And what difference that has made, or what difference it would make if you could truly believe it. The first part of this has to do that God, and important things still take place in the wilderness, that God still meets us in those places, sometimes most profoundly. The second is it's in those places that where God works profoundly is where it's the end of the road to this project of self-help and self-righteousness and or self-worthiness, however you want to say that something new begins when we begin to hear a new beginning place that begins with your belovedness. When you start from being beloved, everything else looks different. And it'd be tempting to just let it stay there and make this a sermon that is full of comfort. And I definitely hope you're finding comfort in all of this, but that's not just this passage, is it? And it's certainly not the time. That it is not just about comfort, it's also about our call, because when we begin from a place of love, when we come from love, then we are commanded and called to live from love. And it doesn't stop there in the wilderness, that Jesus and the path that Jesus leads us on then goes into the wilderness of the world. It goes into the wilderness and the pain of other people's lives, and it goes into the very hard places. But not as a way of trying to somehow manage God as to be a gift, because it comes from love. How does all that apply to this week? I'm reminded of that saying that when we experience pain, we will either transform it or we will transmit it. Richard Rohr said that. In one way or another, he said, listen, whenever you come into pain, you will either transform it, change it, or you will transmit it, you will pass it on. And there really isn't a third alternative. One way or another, in varying degrees, we will take the pain that we have been given and we will send it on to somebody else. We will deflect it. We will bury it. We will do something that doesn't really solve it. We will push back and make it hurt more on the other side. We will blame somebody. We'll justify. But then it just continues to go and it just continues to bruise. Or we will do and take the path that Jesus took, which is to take that pain and transform it. Listen to it. Heal it. Redeem it. You see, this sermon isn't just for us who need comfort in a time of challenge and in a time of desert. There's a world that is in a wilderness, and all around there are signs that people are feeling dislocated. And if not for ourselves, at least for the sake of our world, we need to understand what it means to come from a place of love, so that we get to be on the solution side and not just more of the problem, not more of blaming, not more of accusing, not more of justifying, not more of recreating. Because how's that working for us? But rather to take the pain of this moment and transform it, to get on the solution side, to find constructive ways to redeem. Because Jesus came to bring life and bring it to the full and invites us to be a part of that, to live a life that is the living embodiment of the prayer that thy will be done on earth even as in heaven. And it can only happen when we come from a place of love, but it dares not stay there if it doesn't extend that love to others. So that brings us to probably the most important thing we could be doing today, is to remind ourselves, because it's so easy to forget, to remind ourselves that indeed we are beloved. And so we come to this place of baptism, and we remind ourselves of our baptism, and we remind ourselves of the same words. Hopefully you were able to find some water around your house and have it nearby, if not, soon thereafter. And I'm going to invite you to take some of that water and maybe just put it on your head as a visceral reminder that you were baptized, even if you don't remember your baptism, maybe especially if you don't, to remember that you were. And to take that moment to remember what that meant and to hear again as if for the first time, remember your baptism. You are a beloved child of God. And in that, there is a call on your life to live in the love of God and to live from the love of God for others. In the next few moments, to take some time to do just that, or maybe at a later time when it's more appropriate, to take and remind yourself again and again this week in all the different ways. Listen, you are the beloved of God. In you, God is well pleased. Live in that love and live from that love for yourself and for the sake of the world. At the end of worship, there is always a response that is required. It is never a passive activity. And so, what is your next step? What is ours? Maybe you heard a word today that had your name on it, in the music, a prayer, in the sermon, the scripture. Maybe there was a nudging of the Spirit that you need to pay attention to. Pay attention. Maybe it is just a call in the middle of the wilderness to pay attention to the wilderness you're in and not just try to insulate ourselves from it, but to listen, not to waste the pain. Maybe it is to listen again afresh for the word that you are the beloved child of God, and we'll let that sink into the marrow of your soul. Or maybe it is to live from that love in a new way. Maybe there's somebody this week that you are going to see, and you get to speak that same love into their lives. You get to notice. You get to let them know that they are worthy. They are loved. They matter. You can do that with a call. You can do that with the text. You can do that in all the different ways that we encounter people. Maybe there's a way that you're going to give yourself away this week and express yourself into one of the wilderness places that are around us and do something that is redemptive. In all those ways, those are all expressions of what it means to live from love. Because the charge is to go and love God with everything you've got and love your neighbor as yourself. As you go, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. And believing, may you abound with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit now and forever. Amen? As I'm wrapping this up, I'm hearing a siren. You're probably hearing it too. Boy, what a great way to finish a service and a reminder of who it is that we are in the world that we go into and the need for God's peace. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you. Go in peace.
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you have enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. Go in peace.